I love that Rachel inserted that song there, Christ be the center of our lives. It really is the summary of the entire message this morning. Now you might be saying that should be the summary of every message you give, Cliff. And it's just true. But when we left last week, we walked away saying, you too can live a resurrected life. You too can live a life that is as a person that has been raised from the dead, not as a person that is walking around in death or dying. And Jesus is the answer. Is it? Okay. So we're going to jump into that, but before we do that, I want to acknowledge, I just got back from men's retreat. I was up there over the weekend, and they're still up there. Hope you've been praying for them, because God's been doing a really cool work in the lives of the men in our church and several other churches that were represented there. And it's so cool, because the speaker was really challenging us yesterday about not living this two-faced life, about being willing to trust Jesus in the ambiguity that comes with trusting Jesus. Because what happens is we'd all way rather go over here to this side where we can kind of try to figure out how to do all the right things. And ultimately that we end up putting masks on that are there to make you think that we look good when inside we're a mess. And we, that mask becomes this substitute parallel life that we think looks good when in reality it's a disaster. And so I think the Holy Spirit's been working hard overtime on our guys over the weekend. And wish I didn't have to leave to come back. But I'm glad to be here today. And I'm super excited for where we're going today. We're jumping into 1 Peter chapter 1. Last week we talked about the authority of Christ. And that he is it. He resurrected Lazarus from the dead. And he gave Lazarus a new life. And that Lazarus was living as someone who had been raised from the dead. And without the authority of Christ, that couldn't have happened. Christ has power over life and death. That was the message last week. And if Christ has resurrected me from the dead, then we ask this question, what does it look like to live as a resurrected person in 2019 in Sacramento, California? That's where we're going this morning. And as I mentioned, we're in 1 Peter chapter 1 this morning. So join me in there in whatever method you have of reading the Bible. It might be the printed version. It might be your online version in your smartphone. But 1 Peter chapter 1, and I'm going to read verses 3 through 9. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater value than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you know you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So Lord, may your word be living to us this morning. May your Holy Spirit be alive, active in this room, moving through your word and permeating our hearts. May we live as resurrected people. In the name of Jesus, amen. For the last month, I've had a nagging cough. It's almost done. But I will be distracting you from time to time today with that. I want to lean into verse 3. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." And there are three things that happened here, three parts of this verse. It starts with this. What happened is that we were, that in his great mercy, he has given us new birth. We talked about that last week. He has resurrected us. He has given us a new birth. It's something that happened one time. You know, we're born from our mothers. And then as a follower of Jesus Christ, we have this time where we become born again. It is a moment in time. I don't want to deny that fact. There's this new birth that happens in us. And it's a celebratory moment. It's a moment where everything changes. And what's this new birth into? And with it that we're born new, the old is gone, the new has come. But there's more. We're born into a living hope. And living hope is the theme of all of this morning. It's a hope that is alive. It's active. It's vibrant. It's not something that's a one-time deal, but we're born into this. As a follower of Jesus Christ, our entire life is going to be a living hope. It's alive. And there's hope. And hope is not in something that is today. Hope is something that is yet to come. That's what hope is. How did it happen? Verse 3. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And the key word of resurrection, but I might even add to that, of Jesus Christ. That this living hope is not happening because I'm good. This living hope is not happening because I'm in this room this morning. This living hope is not happening because my parents were Christians and I got to pray a prayer with them as a little kid. This living hope is not happening because I'm a good boss or a great pastor. This living hope is happening because Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. There's nothing I can do to have the living hope. It is through his resurrection. It is through the power that is only from him, through the Holy Spirit. And frankly, that gives me hope because every time I try, I kind of fail. I don't know if you're like me. You probably are. Verse 4. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, this inheritance is kept in heaven for you. So this is kind of something interesting. I want to kind of try to bend our minds a little bit with this today. When we think of inheritance, we think of something that is yet to come in the future, right? It's going to happen when a loved one of ours passes away, you might inherit something from them. But that inheritance was written into a will while they were still alive. And you were written into that will at a point in time long before that person died, unless it goes to probate and that's a mess. But the inheritance is given, is decided upon at this point, but it's not awarded and given to you till a later point. Interesting. Okay, there's a lot to unpack with this today. So that's in the inheritance. But if we go into verse 5, and I don't have a slide for verse 5, but it says, this inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. And so that salvation is the inheritance that's coming in the end, but there's this time while you are alive that started at this moment of salvation when you gave your life to Christ and new birth, but the inheritance is in the end, and there's this in-between time where most of us are right now that we're trying to figure out how to live that. And it says through faith we are shielded before that revealing that's yet to come. That's important because we're having faith in something that we do not see in front, but we know is out there in the future. It's a beautiful picture. And our faith is shielding us as we look forward. Okay, let's move on to verses 6 and 7, grief and trials. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These trials, have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor of Jesus Christ, or honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. We met as a pastoral, as actually a whole church staff this last Tuesday, and I put this question out there to people. I said, how do we live a resurrected life? How do we live as people that are alive and resurrected every day? And we started throwing ideas out there, and we were given ideas about, you know, I get up at 5 a.m. and I read my Bible, I do this, I do that. And then Pastor Greg said, well, it really can't happen without trials, without pain. That's what purifies us. The trials, the pain, the hurt, those are the things that purify us and really cause us to get centered on Christ. You know, we talk about that song, Christ being the center of our lives. I don't know about you, but those painful, dark times in my life, as much as I hate them, and as much as they hurt, and as much as they bring about just a deep, deep hurt, are those places where I saw Jesus. And I know that's in our room. I look out across this room and I know hurt is here. I know there's pain in marriages that are on the edge of divorce. I know there's pain in the loss, the untimely loss of people that are incredibly close to us. There is pain in addiction, in that, God, I keep trying to stop that thing. I just can't stop it. This is painful. I have a friend a couple whose husband just died a couple weeks back. 5 kids, young kids, all under, I think, 7 years old. He's gone. And I'm watching her through social media in various ways, just pour out this grief, this deep, deep pain. And yet she's seeing Jesus face to face in it. It has to happen. And I hate that it has to happen. And I was thinking the other day, in raising my kids and preparing my kids for life and adulthood and all of that, maybe one of the things that's part of my job as a dad is also to prepare them for pain. That suffering is going to be a very real part of your life. That trials are going to be the things that draw you closer to God and not push you away from Him. And yet so often in the trials, we just look and go, why God, why are you letting this happen to me? Why are you doing this to me? And maybe, just maybe, He's looking back at us and saying, these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth, of greater value than gold, and that perishes even though refined by fire, that your faith may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. That is why we are going through pain. Even when it's because we did stupid things. But that pain is going to reveal a greater glory that is for Jesus Christ. And it's going to reveal this moment where you are able to say, I don't know that I could say thank you, God, for letting me go through that. But God, I wouldn't trade who I've become because I've gone through that. That's what pain does to us. You move on in verse 8. And he says, though you have not seen him, you love him. Oh yeah, we don't see him, do we? We can pretend to, but no, we don't see him. And even though you do not see him now, right here in this moment, you believe in him and you are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your soul. You are receiving. In verse 9, let's go to the next slide on that one. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Any English majors in the room? No. Oh my goodness. All right, present participle. What is that? What? Homeschool. Here we go. It's a verb plus ing, right? Yeah. Yeah, it's something it's happening. It's in the active. It is something that's happening in this case. You know, when you add the ing, it's all kinds of things happen. It's what Mrs. Ratliff taught me in seventh grade at Carden School in Bakersfield. But get that. You are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Oh, wait, but Cliff, I thought salvation happened when I was 5 years old and I prayed a prayer. Jesus came into my life and everything was going to be okay. But kind of since I've been living my life, that was that point in time. I always point back, that 5 years old, became a Christian, 5 years old. That was salvation. Salvation happened right there. That was salvation. Oh, but wait a second. No. Peter, by the way, who denied Jesus, not one, not two, but three times, says, let me tell you about a living, active, alive salvation that didn't just happen at that point in time and isn't just yet to come at that point in time, but is while I am alive today. You are receiving the end result of your faith. And so there's this great hope for the future and excitement for when I get to depart this earth and be with Jesus. I'm looking forward to that point. I mean, the little old ladies in my church when I was little would always say, I just can't wait to be with Jesus. I just can't wait. And I'd be like, yeah, I'm good. Like, oh, yeah, let me get married first. Let me get do things that go along with marriage. Anyway, it's just a single young man. Those are how you think. And I have an amazing hope for heaven. I can't wait. And pain has kind of caused that. And yet at the same time, I love the fact that the Holy Spirit is alive and living and active today. And I can live for him today on this earth and live out that salvation right now and not just wait till eternity hits. You see that? We don't have to wait. And it didn't just happen at the beginning. It's our entire lives. Well, Cliff, prove your point. Okay, let's look at Romans 10, 9 and 10. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. I said, oh, okay. So, hey, I did that exact thing in first service. So if I come back here to that point of salvation, I said, oh, okay, Jesus, you are my Lord. You're my Savior. I confessed with my mouth. I believed in my heart, Jesus raised me from the dead, then I'm saved. Done. But notice again, the way the verb works here, that's not even on the screen. He's saying, if you confess, it's active. It's something that you are doing, and you don't just do it one time. You do it over and over and over. You are constantly confessing to the world that Jesus Christ is Lord. You are constantly believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. It's not something I believed this one time and I stopped believing it. You are actively doing it. And so we see this thing that salvation, while it does have this moment in time beginning part, and the angels rejoice, and that's awesome, but I am living out my salvation every single day of my life. Also, Paul goes on in 1 Corinthians 1:18, says, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those of us who are being saved, present participle, there we go, we're back there again, it is the power of God. And so we are being saved. Our life is, Paul also says, talks about in Philippians, working out our salvation. And so we are spending our lives being saved, living sacrifices, working out our salvation. So let us not just leave salvation at the beginning. And let us not just leave it as this one thing that we're working towards in the end. But let our lives be a living hope of working out our salvation. And that's where it gets exciting. I look at, there's just this wrestling that goes on in this passage. And that wrestling, there's a new word, strategery. Between that actual inheritance that is yet to come in heaven and that time that we're on this earth. And I hope that we can be people that live looking forward and yet at the same time with our feet planted right here where we are, knowing this is where God has us. Salvation, it's rescue. Salvation, it's safety. Those are the roots behind that word, salvation. It is us being rescued. It is us being brought to safety. And years ago, my son started watching this TV show on the Weather Channel, of all things, called Coast Guard Alaska. And I loved watching Coast Guard Alaska because they would drop these rescue swimmers out of a helicopter. They'd jump down in the water and go over there, and they would rescue whoever was on the life raft or on the ship that's sinking, wherever it was. They're rescuing these people. And the thing that stands out to me about a rescue is one of the worst ways to be rescued is to fight it. One of the worst ways to rescue is to offer your own help in the rescue process. Right? No, let me try to swim as I get there. It's like, just relax. Hold on to me. Let me pull you to safety. You know, and that's where there's a beautiful picture when you see this, the rescue swimmer lifting this person up. They're being lifted by a winch out and into the helicopter, and they're just, you know, grasping that person and holding on to them, keeping them tight. But if that person being rescued tries to do the work of the rescue, they're defeating the work that the rescuer is doing. And that's a great example of what we do spiritually sometimes. God's rescuing us. And dare I say that sometimes we let our trying to rescue ourselves get in the way of what he's doing. Okay, Cliff. Well, that's nice. There's some theology in there. That's good. I'll think about that. Some good scripture in there. No, that's good. Well, how does this work for me today? 2019. Hanging out in Sacramento, California, trying to figure out how to live my life. As I mentioned, I brought our staff together and we started asking some of these questions. And the first question I asked is, what are the things that are getting in the way? What are the things that are distracting us from being able to live an everyday resurrected life for Jesus Christ? Like to live as new, alive, born-again people. What are the things getting in the way? Here are their answers. Of course, social media. That's an easy answer. Not just for young people, for older people, for everyone in between. Social media is our, while it is a great friend, it is also one of our dearest enemies that just gets in our way and distracts us and takes our time and can get between us and God, and especially can get between us and people. School, as I have worked with our young people in this church, like school is this huge distraction from God. And I hate hearing that. Don't shake your head. No, it is, right? Oh, yeah. No, you believe in me. Right, yeah. And it's this massive, you know, and so that's where the kids all go home to their parents like, Mom, Dad, school is really like getting between me and God. I think maybe need to scale back on school. Obviously, that's not going to work. But But it's something that's real, and it's something that gets in the way. Money gets between us and God. Why is it that money is the number one thing that breaks apart marriages? And it's the number one thing people don't want to hear preached about in church, right? It's a distraction. It gets between us and God. It's the source of pain for a lot of us. It's this thing that is overly consuming. Family can get between us and God. Family can be this idol to us. I hate to say it that way, but family can be our idol. And we make our family more important than God, and then we start leading our family the wrong way. Netflix. Do we have any binge watchers here? Right? It's just, my grandma back in the day, and so I can draw in some of you that might be a little older, she used to watch she called them her stories. They were soap operas. And it's like, you did not mess with grandma from 11 to 1 every day, because she was glued to her stories. And they were awful. And like, you know, people are doing things they shouldn't be doing. And this was the 70s. And you know, that's just this distraction. Well, we have that today in the media that we put in front of us and the things that, you know, I got to watch every episode of The Office or I'm going to really miss out, which is down the road here. Busyness and urgency. Aren't those right there? Don't we struggle with that stuff? It's like, oh, I've got to be here, and I've got to take my kids here, and I got to get them to those three sports all at the same time, and then this is going on, and this event's going to happen, and this stuff's at the church, and so it's really urgent. FOMO. All right, what is it? FOMO. Ready, go. Fear of missing out. Right, and social media leads into that, and our society just goes, oh, man, you're really missing out if you don't go and be a part of this. You're really missing out if you're not at this event. You're really missing out if you're not wearing this particular thing or having this particular type of phone. You're missing out. I had so much FOMO going on in my life because of all of you all that have Fitbits that I went and got me a Garmin watch that I wear now. And it tells me the thing. I'm sitting there in the middle of a message yesterday at men's retreat and things like, move, move, move. But I had FOMO, got to get the watch. Okay. Selfishness, sports, that's a challenge. The sports one is a challenge. Oh, man, well, you know, I think my kid could get a lacrosse scholarship to college. So he's 5, but I'm pretty sure he can get it. So we're going to start him on that lacrosse team. It's going to be a travel team, by the way. Politics, I don't even need to start there. But I think in a very unhealthy way, a lot of us will elevate a political figure between us and Christ and say, oh, this person's going to be the salvation of our culture. If only we elect the right person, then things are going to be different. Then our nation's going to be right with God. Our nation's not going to be right with God because I'm not right with God. You're not right with God because you're not right with God. Politician's not going to get us there. And yet we elevate them up there. I bought a book about 3 months ago. Decided to start reading it, and I read it about once every 3 weeks. But I need to read this book. It's called Irresistible Faith. It's by a pastor named Scott Sauls. But every time I pick it up, it just speaks to me. He speaks to me right here where I am on that particular day. And it just so happened on the day that I was working together some of the notes for this sermon, this is the quote that showed up. Jesus must be the sun around which the solar systems of our lives find their orbit. He must be our single non-negotiable, our true north, and the wind beneath our wings. Otherwise, if we move Jesus to the periphery and center our lives on anything else, even our best and noblest earthly pursuits will backfire on us. When we turn good things into our ultimate things, those things are going to go sour for us. It's not Jesus. If Jesus is not the center of our lives, I believe that, Nick, did I totally skip a slide? Yeah, thank you. Appreciate you, Nick. Let's go back and throw that one up there, because I think this is important to get there. I realize I skipped an entire page on my notes. Abiding in Christ. Sometimes we've just limited abiding in Christ to this. Well, if you just read your Bible and pray and go to church, everything's going to be great. Right? Skip one more time in the Word, you're going to be great. Well, okay, not just the Word, though. You've got to have a really good prayer life, and then you're going to connect with Jesus, and you got to do it with others. And so these are great things. Don't get me wrong. But maybe, just maybe, we have limited the Christian faith to putting three things up on a screen and saying, let's go do those three things and everything's going to be fine. Well, frankly, sitting here in the audience today is not going to make me a follower of Jesus. No more than sitting in my garage is going to make me a car. Right? Reading the Bible is not going to just make me a follower of Jesus. Although with the power of the living God and the Holy Spirit working in through that word's going to come alive, but it's got to have the Holy Spirit to tell me that. If I'm just praying a blind prayer, a blind selfish prayer, go, oh God, take care of my kids, take care of my family, take care of my car, it's not really working that well this week, and Lord, did you take care? Well, it's me. It's not that simple. And even in the next slide, I'll put up there a bunch of things that our staff said. You know, here's how I meet Jesus. You know, for me, I love the 5:30 in the morning thing. I love that. And I want everybody to love that. But guess what? Some of y'all don't work quite well at 5:30 in the morning. And that's not where you're going to connect with Jesus. But I want to go to you and go, no, it's 5:30. That's the formula. Oh, did you hear that? We're all trying to figure out a formula of abiding in Christ, where he's going, be the center of my life. You know, I want to be the center of your life. But here are cool things. Greg and I talked about this. He's like, I can't do the early morning thing, Cliff, but I love to get bigger chunks of time and take several hours where I can just get time alone by myself with God. That's awesome. One of the people on our staff said, I love when I just got worship music in my ears and it puts a song in my head. And it makes my abiding in my day so much better. Someone else talked about, I just carry my Bible and journal everywhere I go. And when I get a few free minutes, I open that Bible. I knew the speaker one time that used to speak at camp, and he'd carry his Bible like in a holster on his belt. Yeah, he'd bring out his Word of God. Remember that guy? It was great. One of our staff people finds God in her garden. It's awesome. Someone I was sitting with, a young person in this church, several weeks ago, I'm sitting across the table from him at lunch, and he's like, Cliff, I could care less about the sermon. I'm like, great. You telling me I put all my time everywhere you can to putting together a big sermon, great sermon, and you could care less about it? He's like, I could care less about the sermon. I come to church because I'm drawn into community. That's what I need. I mean, oh, he finds Christ through community. That's okay. It's a great thing. Accountability, getting away, pain, worship. Let's not limit Christ working in our lives to the formula that we have figured out. And let's not limit Christ working in somebody else's life to the formula that I have figured out. Let's work on this one thing. Let's put him in the center of our lives. And I want to take you to Hebrews to close this morning. Hebrews chapter 12. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out before us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. The pioneer, or the way I memorize it, the author and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such pain, such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And every time I read that passage, those two words right there come to me. Consider him. Don't consider the latest and greatest Bible study methods. Don't consider necessarily a whole bunch of things that you got taught at church. Oh, if I do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I'm going to be closer to God. Guess what? That worked for somebody, but the Holy Spirit could be leading you much differently. Are you willing to go, I am going to look to Christ and consider him and fix my eyes on him in such a way that I will know what he wants for me. Not what worked for Chuck Swindoll 50 years ago, but what works for me 2019, Fair Oaks, California. Because I have the living God who is helping me, causing me to work out my salvation as I live through this life. Not just a point in time at the beginning, not just a point in time where I say, goodbye world, I'm good. See you later. But I live that active and alive. We're going to sing a song right now. And the song is Living Hope. I can't think of a better way to close this service this morning. But I'm going to ask you to do one thing. And it's simply this. If you do not know Jesus Christ, and you're at this spot, you're before this spot. For me, it was 5 years old when I gave my life to Christ. I said, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. I believe he came into my life at that point. But you're right before that. And you're saying, Cliff, I came last week, and here I am this week. I need to give my life over to Jesus Christ and accept his salvation. I want to be resurrected. I don't want to be living in death anymore. I want to be resurrected from the dead. If that's going to be you this morning, I'm going to invite you to just come forward. I'm going to ask our prayer partners, our people that are normally up here to pray, to be up here during this song so we can pray with you. But that's not just it. Because all of us are living this life from that point of birth, of new birth and new life, to this point that someday when we die, we will go and see him. But so many of us are living in between, and we are wandering around trying to figure it out. And maybe today we just need to say, God, I surrender. God, I want to surrender my life every single day, and I want to stop just living with fire insurance that I got when I was younger or a few years ago. I want to abide with you today. I want to live with you today. And if that's you, I'm going to invite you to come forward during that song and just let us pray for you. And if you see someone come forward and you want to come pray with them, but surrender your lives. Don't let it be a point in time. Don't let it be someday down the road. Surrender your life today. And when you get up tomorrow morning, surrender your life tomorrow. That is why in the book of Lamentations, when the writer is just talking about the terror and the pain that is around, that is happening to the people of Israel, and he says in chapter 3, this I call to mind, and because of this I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, God. And every day, God's mercies are brand new for us. And we blew it yesterday. If you know what that means? I repent today. And I stand up and I say, God, I'll accept your forgiveness. And I'll accept the fact that you have resurrected. You've raised me from the dead. And I don't have to live a dead life anymore. And so listen to the Spirit speak to you as we sing this song in closing this morning. And if you feel God leading, saying, I need to get this right with God, come forward. Don't worry about people who are in this room. And come forward and let's pray. Let's sing together.